Welcome back to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Time for a little worldview watch, taking what we've learned in our prayer and meditation, what we've learned in our oratio and our meditatio, and taking it into the tentatio, really, the suffering of asking what it means in the world we live in now. We're going to do that today by looking at an article from a recent Lutheran Witness, the April edition, written by Pastor Sean Danzer of Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota. A guest you listeners of Cross Defense might find familiar. This article is called Four Things You Should Definitely Not Hear in an Easter Sermon. And so we're going to go ahead and ask him what he means by all of that. Pastor Danzer, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
So, why does it matter what you hear in an Easter sermon?
It matters what you hear in an Easter sermon because Easter is the center of our Christian faith. Really, Holy Week is the center of our Christian faith. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing to us as Christians. So, it goes without saying there's a little pressure, I suppose, on the Easter sermon that it ought to be true. Why does it matter if it's true? Well, the trouble is we're all going to die. And if you're somebody who's lost somebody recently, you're mourning yourself and you'd like to have hope. St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we grieve as the world does too, except we grieve a little differently. We do it with hope and the world does it without hope. What is that hope? That's really what the Easter sermon ought to proclaim in one way or another.
Well, this brings us then in a very real way to the first of the four things that you list that should not be heard on an Easter sermon. And one maybe is Lutherans are like, where would you ever hear this? But I'll tell you, people, it's out there in the Christian world today. The first thing you shouldn't hear said on Easter is that Jesus didn't actually, you know, really come back to life. What's that all about?
Well, it's certainly, I don't know if it's unbelievable. It seems impossible. It certainly is unimaginable that a dead man comes back to life to us. It's not unbelievable. And our contention as Christians is it actually happened too. That's the whole point of the apostles going out and preaching. Paul says our whole faith hinges on it. If Christ be not raised, then we're dead in our sins. It matters. The trouble is our modern minds, well, even back to the Jewish and Greek minds in the first century, had a hard time with this. They didn't think it was possible for a man to rise from the dead. And so there's always the temptation for us to kind of back off a little bit, too, and turn the resurrection away from being what it sounds like, that a dead man now is breathing and living again, into some kind of spiritualized or symbolic or metaphorical resurrection. Some people say, well, you know, the early church was very devastated when their supposed leader, Jesus, died. But they wrote these resurrection stories into the Gospels. They made them up, in other words, because they expressed the hope that they had that Jesus is still living on in their memories. He's still around in their love for one another. It sounds very nice, but that's not enough to have a religion. And I think more importantly, it's not enough for those very apostles to go out and die for that message, as all but one of them did.
As the old bad hymn says, you know, it doesn't matter if he lives, he lives inside my heart. No, it matters. It matters if he lives. But so when people start telling these stories or saying that the apostles were telling these stories as just kind of hopeful ideas about how to handle life and only have hope for this life, one of the ways people might do that today is your second one that you list here, that now it's your time to rise like Jesus. And then, I think you could put a number of things after the ellipses there, a number of the rise in this way, rise in that way, overcome this, overcome that. But particularly one you might hear in some of the bigger churches in America, to rise out of your bad finances.
Yeah, or you're right, just about anything. In other words, it's still a metaphorical use of the word resurrection. These people probably don't deny that Jesus really rose. I think if you pressed them on it, especially if they thought you weren't a Christian, they'd probably tell you the gospel. They'd probably tell you that Jesus died for your sins and that he rose again for your justification, that he's alive and you have the hope of life too. But what do you do for the average listener in the pew who already, they think, know that? They probably confessed the creed a second ago anyway, so you wouldn't want to just tell them the same thing, right? So you use the resurrection as kind of an inspiring tale. Jesus, everything looked bad for him. He died, but then he rose from the dead. And you could do the same thing. You can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You can learn to, you know, live victoriously or whatever. And it just misses the point entirely. Jesus rose from the dead. It was not only that he raised himself from the dead, but the scriptures also say as the same thing, the Father raised him from the dead. In fact, gives his imprimatur to him, vindicates him. This is a man who was accused of being a troubler of Israel and executed horribly. The Father vindicates him. And also, he died as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The Father shows that this sacrifice is acceptable by raising Jesus from the dead. And if he's vindicated, then all those who are in him through baptism and faith are vindicated also. We're forgiven. We're justified, as Paul says in Romans.
So the resurrection is not a metaphor. It's a promise of a very real resurrection. And that time is now, but not yet. Right. We're looking forward to that. Moving on to the third thing that you should not hear on Easter Sunday is that now it's time to take the crucifix down. We have the crucifix up for Good Friday. Now it's Easter. Let's put up a blank cross because Jesus isn't there anymore.
Yeah, this one our listeners may have heard. This is a cliche, I think, that's so popular. I'm not sure where it came from, but it kind of has two parts.
Methodists. Directly from the Methodists.
The idea that, Jesus is no longer on the cross, so therefore if we have pictures of Jesus or pictures of a cross, it shouldn't have Jesus on it. And that the empty cross, a cross without a body on it, is a symbol of the resurrection. That last one is just, I don't know how to say it any more kindly. It's just not true. The cross is a symbol of death. It is a picture of an execution instrument. And to say that Jesus' body not being on it means he's risen isn't even historically true. The cross was empty before he was put on the cross and crucified. The cross was empty the minute they took him down, all the way up before he rose from the dead too, and after he ascended. I mean, it's not a symbol of the resurrection. It's always a symbol of the death of Jesus, whether Jesus' body is on there or not. I'm not a very good artist. I'd have a hard time drawing a picture of a man on there, but I can put two lines on a page. So it's a symbol of the crucifixion, absolutely. You might still have the question, well, why would we want that to be out on Easter? And there's where I think it's important to realize Christians, because we have a real resurrection, and because that real resurrection of Jesus doesn't mean a bunch of metaphorical things that we do, Jesus is in fact actually here and is preaching. The counterpart to my article on the things you should hear in a sermon did a great job of this, that you hear the preaching of Jesus, his word. He is here in this word, forgiving your sins, giving you life, and giving you that promise, as you mentioned, Pastor Fisk, of the resurrection to come at the last day. We have the real things. We don't have to pretend by kind of doing a historical reenactment. I think that's what happens when people, want to bring out the empty cross on really, they ought to do it on Good Friday, I guess. That's when they took his body down. And it was the bad guys who wanted his body taken off, by the way. I think we can learn something from our services. On Good Friday at my church, we followed the order in Lutheran service book. And really, the climax of the service, at least for us, we didn't have Holy Communion. The climax was when we looked at the picture of the cross. Ours had a Jesus on it. And it says, "Behold the wood of the cross. And we adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection," right? We are talking about Easter on Good Friday. And you know what? In the preface on Easter, we hear about the Paschal Lamb who was offered for us and has taken away the sins of the world. By his death, he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life, he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. My point here is basically, I think there's a false dichotomy, a false choice that we have. It's either Jesus' crucifixion is the big deal or Jesus' resurrection is the big deal. And I would say, yes, the Bible wants to keep them together. And we as Christians do ourselves no favors when we split them apart. So I'm fine to have a crucifix out on Easter. It's the symbol that we know and love of the Christ who died for our sins. And I'd much rather have a cross that's full of Jesus than empty. And maybe I'm the one who's supposed to be done in next. And if you want symbols of Easter, boy, we have wonderful ones. We've got lilies. Sometimes I've seen pomegranates. That's kind of a cool one, bursting forth with the fruit. And you know what? We are shouting and singing so many alleluias, and Christ is risen on Easter.
And much more even than a symbol, this is the feast of victory for our God, that we have something greater than a symbol. We have a ritual that is really binding us to the eternally crucified one who is also risen from the dead. And as you said, Tawa, you can't really get rid of one without accidentally losing some of the other. Your final thing that you shouldn't hear preached on Easter Sunday is, and this, I think there's some tongue-in-cheek here, but surprise! And everyone was surprised by the resurrection, and so now we got some surprises cooked up for you this morning. A bit of a joke, but really a deeper issue here. The resurrection, so far as Jesus preaching goes, it wasn't a surprise.
It wasn't. Jesus told it about three times, I think, in most of the Gospels. It's necessary for the Son of Man to die and to rise. Notice I'm keeping it together there. And we didn't act like that during Lent. It wasn't a historical reenactment where we were pretending, well, now Jesus is going to die. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in 3 days. Nonsense. We're Christians. We know. This is all past history, that we're not reliving like a Civil War reenactment. We are receiving the benefits of in the supper and in the word. There are no surprises on Easter because that's what we should be receiving. This was also kind of directed at myself, I think, because Easter is such a big day, right? We joke it's one of the 2 days some people come in the year. So what if my sermon's not very good? It's like the last one after a billion sermons. What do I have to say anymore? I've talked about Jesus' death. I always talk about Jesus' resurrection too. Well, you know what? Easter is incredibly normal and ordinary. In fact, everything in our service, after the vigil and Good Friday, Holy Thursday, these days have all sorts of ceremonies and dramatic things that happen, big passion readings. Easter, it's just a plain old communion service at my church. If anything's exciting, maybe we've got some instruments. The lilies are beautiful. Maybe there's a breakfast afterwards. My sermon is going to fit that. It's not going to be the exciting thing. It's going to be the bread and butter of Christianity. It's going to be the wonderful truth that isn't a metaphor, isn't going to be clever as I put my twists on it. Neither is the service, by the way. It's just going to be the wonderful comfort food of the gospel. The one who was crucified for my sins is now raised for my justification and yours too.
My guest, Pastor Sean Danzer of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota, as well as Peace Lutheran Church in Bardia, North Dakota, talking about a recent article in the April Lutheran Witness, 4 things you should definitely not hear in an Easter sermon. Thank you, Pastor Danzer, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
Pastor Danzer was just talking about how important it is to be normal. You can't really live on a diet of the extraordinary. If you want to make it from day to day, you need normal food. You need healthy food. And healthy food, it has certain things that don't change about it. And this is all the more true about your life in Christ and the Word of God, which you need to eat. So Easter Sunday is just one of many Easter Sundays, many days of our Lord, on which we remember the one thing needful that you can't hear enough. In fact, the moment you think, I've heard that enough, I've heard about Jesus' death and resurrection enough, now you know you absolutely need to hear about it again. And you know you can't hear about it enough, and so you want to hear it again. His death, his resurrection, his ascension, and what this all means for you, Christian, his return. I'll tell you what, universe, you're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, and our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. My name is Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and whether it is today or tomorrow, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.